All right, so over the years, you guys know I've shared a lot of different parts of my story, right? Who I am and where I come from. You guys know that I'm from the Deep South. I'm from Louisiana. I don't know if I ever shared with you that my mom grew up just north of the border between Louisiana and Arkansas. She grew up in a tiny little town called Crossett, Arkansas. And during the summers when I was a little kid, I would spend at least 2 weeks out of the summer in Crossett, Arkansas at my grandparents' house. There was this little bitty church in the town called the Beach Street Baptist Church, and that is literally the church. And they held what they call a singing school about 2 weeks out of the summer. And so for 14 years, I went to the Jeffers School of Gospel Music at the Beach Street Baptist Church, where I went twice a day for a morning session and an evening session for devotionals, learning how to sing in four-part harmony using things they call shape notes. And we took classes in music. Well, in the morning sessions, we would all gather together in the church sanctuary, and there were people of all ages, right? When I started, I was 4 years old, and there were senior citizens and grandparents that went as well, and really every age in between. But once a day, we would all gather in the church sanctuary for a morning devotional. It was a lesson from the Bible about how to live the Christian life. And each year, at some point in these 2 weeks, they would talk about how to accept Jesus into your heart. How to become a believer. Now, something else that's important to know about me as a little boy is that my immediate family, like my mom, my dad, my brothers, and I, we were all very Catholic. It was something my parents took very seriously. And when I say we were very Catholic, I mean my parents said the rosary every day. And during the season of Lent, my parents said the rosary twice a day. And if you know the rosary, that's a long thing to say, right? We did not eat meat on Fridays. We went to confession. We had to go to church every single Sunday, even if we were on vacation. So that, you know, because if we didn't, that was a mortal sin in the Catholic Church. We had a copy of the Catholic Catechism in the living room, and we had a picture of the Pope on the wall in the hallway. We were very Catholic Catholics. And so the only reason I had been allowed to go to the singing school was because it was a chance for me to study music, which my parents knew that I loved, and to be with my grandparents. But here I was, this very Catholic boy in this very Baptist church, listening to this message about a relationship with Jesus. And every year I wanted to know him, right? So every year when they got to that lesson in the devotionals about Jesus, I would pray that prayer in my heart. And then I would go home for the other 50 weeks of the year, and I wouldn't tell anybody what I had done because I was afraid of the Catholic reaction and what that would be to praying a prayer like that in a Baptist church. So when the next summer came around, I would listen to all the devotionals, I'd want to know more about Jesus, and I'd pray the prayer again. Right? I must have said the prayer to salvation at least 10 times in my life, if not more, honestly. And as I was growing up, because I was afraid to ask my Catholic family about that whole salvation relationship thing, I remember thinking, did it work? Right? I prayed the prayer, did it work? Am I a Christian now? Is the Holy Spirit inside of here? Because I really don't feel it. I mean, I felt good about it, but is there something different about me now? I remember that, thinking, am I supposed to feel it? And then I would look at other people's reaction to what I assumed was the Holy Spirit, and I remember thinking, okay, well, I didn't have that reaction. Does that mean that I didn't get the Holy Spirit? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? And that went on for years. Now, I don't know what your story of salvation was like, or if you had this amazing, like, rushing of the Holy Spirit confirmation, if you felt that assurance, or if you were more like me, but I remember people quoting scripture and saying things like, you know, when you accept Jesus into your life, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, and the new has come, and I was like, yes, I want that. Did it happen? Am I new? Have I been changed? And now I realize, after having talked with many different believers over the years, that I'm not alone in that. Right? I know I'm not the only person that has ever doubted my salvation. Now, some of that I know is because of who I am. Right? I know that I am an analytical person. That is just how God made me. When I encounter something new that interests me, I research it, I examine it, I think about it from 50 different possible angles and try to understand it. That is just who I am. So my emotions tend to take a back seat most of the time when I start to analyze something. But I know another part of that is the enemy. Because I truly believe the enemy's most effective weapon against the church, against us as believers, is causing us to doubt the presence and the power of God in our lives. Because there's no such thing as an ordinary Christian, right? Once we take that step of faith, once we confess our sins to Jesus, accept his death on the cross for our sins, once we decide to make him Lord of our lives, the same power that he had, right, that power that conquered sin, that conquers death, it now lives inside of us. We have access to that power. We no longer have to be stuck in those cycles of sin. We no longer have to fear death. Think about that. Think about that. The power of the Almighty God, the same God that created the heavens, that created the earth, that created the entire universe, that same God lives inside of each one of us. That means God is not only inside of you, he's also sitting beside you. Because there are believers all over this church right now. Right? This room is filled with the power and the presence of God. If we lived in the reality of that, right? If we took victory in our lives, that the victory in our lives that's possible through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we would completely overwhelm the enemy. Did you ever think about that? He couldn't handle Jesus when there was just one of him. And there are 40 plus Jesus or Spirit of God in this room right now. Right? Which causes me to ask, given the power that is inside of all of us, Northside, what is keeping us from living like him? What's keeping us from having victory over our sin? What's keeping us from overwhelming the enemy in Rogers Park? What's keeping us from making disciples and baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ every week? Not just this week, but every week. What is holding us back? I think there are really only three possibilities. I think either we're not aware of the power that lives in us. Maybe we didn't understand that having the Holy Spirit living in us means we have access to the power of God. Right? Maybe. That's honestly a little hard for me to believe, knowing what we preach here at Northside and knowing what's written down in God's Word, but maybe that's a possibility. Maybe some of us didn't know. Maybe the enemy has convinced us it's not true, or it's not true for us. Maybe you're believing a lie today about what you can and cannot do. Maybe Satan's got you doubting the power of God in your life. Or three, maybe you don't want it to be true. I'm just going to let that hang out there and be awkward for a minute. Maybe you don't want that to be true. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. I know some people in this room might be offended by it, but just hear me out. I think this last one is a little more true than we want to admit. And actually, I want to work through all three of these this morning because I know there are believers in this room who desperately want to live victoriously. You want to conquer the sin in your life, but it's not happening. Right? You read in Scripture that you are new creations and you are ready to leave your old lives behind, but it's not happening. And I believe it's not happening for one of those three reasons. You either didn't know the power that's available to you through the Holy Spirit in your life, or you're believing a lie from the enemy, or you don't want it to be true. And if we're going to live out God's call for Northside Community Church, right, if we are going to accomplish what we believe God has given us to do here at Northside, I know, number one, we're not going to be able to do it without accessing his power in our lives and in this church. But we cannot do it on our own. And two, I know we're not going to do it if just the leaders or if just certain people are accessing his power. Because that's not how God designed the church to work. Each one of us is an important part of the body of Christ. And it is God's plan to use his power in Soniel and in Barbara and in me and in Nick and in Julie and in all of us to do what he wants to do in Northside. So let's get started. Let's dig into these three areas. Bless you. But first, for those of you who maybe didn't know, let's talk a little bit about that power that's available to us. Our power, right, which is our ability to do anything of worth, comes from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So without the Holy Spirit, the disciples would really just be spinning their wheels. No matter how talented they were, or energetic, or charismatic, no matter how great they were at public speaking, without the Holy Spirit empowering them, it would have all come to nothing. And that power from God strengthens our inner being, right? It's not muscular strength, it's inner strength. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. As believers, we have an inner power that the world doesn't have, right? A power that allows us to continue on when our bodies are tired or our will is weak. We have an inner strength that allows us to walk away when temptation gets strong or to keep going when we feel like quitting. And it's that power from God, right, that's being renewed in us each day. It's that power that enables us to serve and preach the gospel. Ephesians 3:7, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. And the same power that enables us to serve in the church and preach the good news also enables us to endure suffering and hardships. 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. In fact, this power that we have from God not only allows us to continue when we are weak, it's usually the strongest and the easiest to see when we are weak or when we're struggling. 2 Corinthians 12:9, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And Paul says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Now, that's awesome that we have access to the power of God and that he will enable us when we are weak. But how do we access that power that God gives us? Well, Scripture tells us we can access that power through prayer. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Prayer has power. It produces wonderful results, right? God gives us power through prayer. He also gives us the power of his presence when we are actively spreading the gospel. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I know there are many of us who desperately want to manifest the power of God in our lives. Right? We want that victory over our sin. We want to live as new creations. We want to feel the presence of God in our lives as Jesus promised us here in Matthew 28. But are we praying? Right? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Are we praying? Scripture tells us that's one of the ways that we access God's power is through prayer. But are we doing it? And I don't mean, did you pray today? Right? Yes, I said my short prayer. I'm going to check that off my list. Because prayer is the lifeblood of our relationship with Jesus. It's how we keep a healthy relationship going. It's how we talk to him. It's how we listen to him. And Scripture uses the analogy of a marriage to symbolize our relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine if I spoke to Maria in the morning, right? And then I was like, okay, I don't have to talk to her for the rest of the day. Check. And she comes and she might be looking at me. She might ask me questions and I might be thinking, okay, I already talked to her today. What, I don't know that I necessarily need to say anything else. That would not be a healthy relationship, would it? And sometimes I do this myself, right? I think to myself, wow, I spent a whole hour in prayer. Like, I deserve some kind of a spiritual award because I spent a whole hour in prayer. Can you imagine if I just spent like an hour with Maria and I thought I wanted a medal, right? Or I deserved a medal for that? Sometimes, I'm not saying I don't live like that sometimes, but that's crazy when you think about it. You say it out loud, right? But a lot of times that's how we act in our relationship with God. And that line there in Matthew 28 where Jesus says, I will be with you always, there's context there. Jesus gave them a job to do. He said, go into all nations baptizing people and teaching them to obey all the commands I have given you. If we want God's presence in our lives, that's what we need to be doing. I mean, when's the last time you walked someone through God's plan for salvation? Or shared how God is blessing your life? or changing your marriage? What's he convicting you of? The power that God gives us is not for our own enjoyment. It's not just to be used as a party trick or for our family or just for the people inside this church. He gives it to us so that we can be the hands and feet of God on this earth. 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called himself to one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now, you know what the key phrase in this verse is? What I think the key phrase in this verse is? Godly life. I know this can be a hard truth to hear, but sometimes we want the power of God in our lives to live a comfortable life. Or we want the power of God in our lives to live a problem-free life. Even though we know God's power is made strongest in our weakness, we're still chasing a problem-free and a pain-free life. Or sometimes we want the power of God to live a selfish life. Or we want the power of God to live a worldly successful life. But here's the deal. God doesn't empower us to be disobedient. And God doesn't empower us to be wasting our time and our gifts. And God doesn't empower us to glorify ourselves. He empowers us to live a godly life and witness. He empowers us to preach and to live out the gospel. So for those of us who maybe didn't know today, God's power for us who believe in him, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That power is available to us when we seek his will and his way above everything else in this world. Right, Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We can live like new creations starting today, right? We can access the power of God inside of us. We can have victory over our sin and be powerful witnesses in this world if what we are pursuing more than anything else is a relationship with God. All right, and the second thing we talked about, the reason we might not be living as new creations or why we might keep falling back into old sinful nature is that we're believing a lie from the enemy. We believe something that's not true. And for this one, I want to use an illustration. It's kind of a favorite illustration of mine. I've used it in the past, but I think it's been a few years. It's the idea of what they call the baby elephant syndrome. So in a circus, when they get a new baby elephant, when they start to train it, they restrain it by chaining it to a huge stake that they have driven into the ground. You can kind of see the hook back there. It's driven to a stake deep in the ground, and that one's even put into concrete. Right, and the baby elephant tries to break free from the chain. It strains with all of its might, pulling in every conceivable way, hour after hour, day after day. But because of the size of the stake that's in the ground and the size of the baby elephant, it doesn't budge. Right, so rather than mindlessly keep trying to do the impossible thing, because elephants are relatively intelligent animals, it does what seems like is the intelligent thing at that time. It stops trying. But here's the deal. When the baby elephant grows up into this powerfully huge beast, the circus owners can actually switch out that huge stake with just a regular circus tent stake. It's big still, but it's not huge. Because the elephant is convinced by all of its previous experience in life that whenever it tried to remove the stake, it didn't happen. So there's no point in trying. Right? It never bothers to determine whether anything has changed now that it's grown. So it continues to suffer humiliation and shame while it's tied up. Even though at that age and at that size, it could easily rip the peg out of the ground and trample all those people that are trying to make it do crazy, ridiculous circus things. The elephant believed a lie. It thinks it has no other choice but to stay where it is. If only it would realize how powerful it is now, it could be free from that tiny little stake. Right, free from that old life, free from the people who are basically slave drivers with a whip. And the same thing is true of us. So many of us have been tied down to our sin, and we're convinced that's normal, or we're convinced we have no other choice, because we've tried to break that thing in the past, and it didn't work, so what's the use in trying now? You know, when the elephant pulls the chain, I'm sure that it feels the tent stake pulling against the chain on its leg. And that's gotta hurt, right? I've never seen any padding on those things. I'm sure it's an awful feeling. And I'm sure the pain of that is like a reminder of all the times they tried before and failed. Because pain can be a powerful reminder. I often think if only we could somehow like impart our knowledge to the elephant, right? If only somehow we could convince him that even though there's gonna be pain, even though it's gonna hurt, you are strong enough, right? Even though there's gonna be pain and it might increase for a little while, if you keep pulling against that thing, I promise you, you can pull it out of the ground, right? I promise you can break free. It's not gonna be without pain. It might even increase for a little bit, but you are powerful enough to pull it out of the ground. You don't have to stop trying. You can be free if you're willing to endure the struggle of that thing against your leg. And the same is true of us. For those of us who get caught in the bondage of sin, it hurts, right? Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, because nobody likes the shame of being caught in a cycle of sin and addiction. And then, of course, the enemy likes to use that pain and that shame to remind us of our past and say things like, you're never going to get free of that. You're going to struggle with that one forever. If that's you this morning, let me impart some knowledge from God's word that even though it's going to hurt, and even though the pain might increase for a little while, keep pulling because you are strong enough, right? You have the power inside of you to break free from that stupid little peg or that sin in your life. Don't give up. Don't stop trying. You can be free if you are willing to endure the struggle, right? And through God's power, that's how we endure the struggle, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to be free. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be painless. But through him, we have the power to fight through the pain and fight through the temptations and through the struggle. And if or when, right, you doubt the power that's inside of you, or when we think we can't overcome the sin in our lives, that's when you reach out to a brother or sister in Christ. By James 5:16, here it is. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And don't call them after you sin. It's not just confession that you sinned, but call them in the struggle. Right? Confess, this is what I'm struggling with right now. Please pray for me. Pray that I don't sin. Pray that I don't give into this thing. And that's when we can start speaking wisdom into each other's lives, because sometimes other people see things in our lives that we can't see ourselves. Maybe it's I'm losing self-control, right? I'm really struggling. I feel like I'm going to eat an entire pizza right now. Well, where are you? I'm standing in the middle of a grocery store, right? Well, get out of the grocery store. Maybe it's something like that. Or maybe it's something like, you know, I'm really tempted to look at that stuff again on the computer. Well, where are you? I'm at home alone right now. Well, get out of the house, right? Maybe go to the grocery store or wherever it is. We've got to start reaching out in those moments, speaking truth into each other's lives. We recognize things in other people's lives that we don't recognize ourselves. And if we can start reminding each other, no, you are strong enough for this, right? No, you can do this. Because sometimes it's the Holy Spirit in our lives that needs to speak to the other person, not just the Holy Spirit in ourselves. Right? That'll get confirmed in them when they hear the Holy Spirit. They'll say, yes, that's the voice of God. That's the truth that comes from his word. That's what I need to hear today. But we can't hear that if we're not willing to reach out. We can do this, right? God has given us the power we need to get through this. It will be painful, but you can do it even though it's painful, right? And sometimes get out of the grocery store. Sometimes we just need to hear that. But don't buy into the lie that says you're the same person you used to be, because you're not. You are a new creation in Christ, and you have his power in your life. Use it, right? And if you're struggling to live in that new identity, call a brother or sister in Christ, because that's part of being the church. It is reaching out for help in our weakness. And that means, Northside, it's making yourself available to people that are reaching out to you in their weakness. And then one last one. Last reason we might be struggling to live as a new creation in Christ or to access the power of God to overcome sin is that we don't want it. And let me be clear. I don't think there's anybody in here, or I hope there's no one in here, that's saying that they would consciously make this statement. Right? No one would say, I don't want God in my life. No one's going to say, I don't want the power of God in my life. I know we all want God. I know we all want his power. But I think for many of us, or maybe for many areas in our lives, if we're really honest with ourselves, I think we want the power of God, but we want it on our own terms. It's not that we don't want it, and we want it on our own terms, and we don't want it like that. You know, Scripture tells us that God's power works best in our weakness, but some of us don't want to be weak, or we don't want to admit that we're weak. So the idea of calling a brother or sister in Christ and confessing our sins, our struggles, we're not willing to do that. Scripture says, you can have the power of God in your life this way. But no thank you. Right? If that's how you get it, then I'm going to try it on my own this time. And some of us desperately want, or we're desperately seeking God's presence in our lives. Right? We want that assurance. We want that daily proof that God is with us, like it talks about in Matthew 28:20. But are we living like Jesus asked us to in Matthew 28:18-19? Right, those verses that come before verse 20? Are we going into the world and making disciples? I don't think coming to church on a Sunday morning counts as going out into the world. Right? This is not the place we make disciples. This is the place where we come together as disciples to pray. Now, anyone is welcome here, especially non-believers. But this should not be our plan for reaching the world. Right? This is not our plan for going out into the world and making disciples. And the world could be your school. The world could be the office where you work. But again, it's about making disciples and teaching them to obey the commands that God has given us. And are we baptizing people? Praise God we are this morning, right? But God doesn't want it to be just a once in a while thing. He wants it to be a lifestyle for us, individually and as a church. Right now, it's like a special thing. Hey, we're having a baptism at Northside, and that's awesome. Right? But I believe that's God's plan for Northside, is to have these things all the time, because we're living out Matthew 28:18-20. And for all of us this morning, as we start to think about what it means to be a new creation in Christ, what it means to have access to God's power over sin and over death, I want us to think about why. Why do we want God's power? And what are we hoping to accomplish with God's power? What's our goal? Because God's not going to give us his power to do nothing. So what are we going to do with it? By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. God gives us everything we need to live that godly life. But if godly living is not our goal, then why would he give it to us? If we don't want what God wants more than what we want, why would he empower that? He loves us way too much to give us what's not good for us. And our knowledge of what's good for us or good for our families, it pales in comparison to what God knows and wants for us. Right? We don't know, and we only know what we don't know, right? God knows everything. And yet some of us are still putting our own agendas and our own ideas in front of God's. We're still seeking his power for our own gain. So essentially what we're saying is, if God only gives us his power to live a godly life, then no thanks. I'd rather live my own way, on my own power, my own terms. And again, I don't think that's necessarily a conscious thing we do. And that's why I want us all to just take a moment and stop and say, is it possible I'm living my life that way? Is it possible that I'm living like the world, I'm living in my own self, instead of living like a new creation? Because I just want it my way. Northside, as we wrap up this series on our unstoppable God, I know he desperately wants us to live in the reality of our new life in Christ. Because when we do that, not only is God unstoppable, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are unstoppable. And his church is unstoppable when we chase after the life that God wants more than we chase after the life that we want. When we are living out the gospel of discipleship and baptism the way that he asks us to, and when we are boasting in our weakness and his strength, I believe we will overwhelm this world with the goodness and the glory of God. Let's pray. Father God, just help us to search our hearts right now for any part of this message today that might be true in our own lives. Or for those of us who didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, help us to embrace it and to live it out. For those of us that have maybe been believing a lie about ourselves, maybe a lie that we will never conquer sin, or that we'll never grow beyond where we are right now, that things will never change. I pray that you would break the chains of that bondage in their lives right now in Jesus' name. And Father, if there is pride in the way, break the chains of pride. Help us to reach out to one another, to bear one another's burden the way Scripture calls us to. And if there are any areas of our lives that we're looking and we're working in our own power to accomplish our own will instead of yours, oh, Lord, call us out. And help us to use that knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit to make real changes in our lives, changes that will grow us, that will grow your church, that will grow your kingdom. Help us, Father, to make a real difference for you in our lives and in this neighborhood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.